pray for that individual. So on that note, if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to pick right up where we left off Sunday in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Ephesians. We left off in verse 11, so we're going to start there, and then 12 and 13 are our main verses for tonight. But we're going to read 11 through 14 so we have context. Remember, always have the verses in context. Who's saying it? To whom are they speaking? What comes before? What comes after? Okay, verse 11. In whom also we have, obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I mean, those four verses right there are so power-packed. Now, I want to make sure as we go through this study this evening, I'm really going to be emphasizing and showing you, it's critical to me, these two verses and then what follows in chapters 2 and 3. This absolutely explains what Paul's doctrine, the church which is the body of Christ, the dispensation of the grace of God, this unfolds, and it starts right here in verses 12 and 13. That's why they're so critical. You need to understand who the we is in verse 12. Who is that we? And we're going to see that in Scripture. And then you need to see he switches to ye who also trusted in verse 13. Two different groups of believers. Now, the other thing I want to start at the end, and then we're going to go back and see it in Scripture. Come to chapter 3. Here's why all this is going to be important. After he explains that and then explains chapter 2, and we'll be in there a little bit, chapter 3, for this cause, chapters 1 and 2, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Okay, so remember, there's we who first trusted, ye who also trusted, and us. Okay, verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, chapters 1 and 2, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Okay, end of parentheses, verse 5. So let's go back verse 3, and then we'll skip the parentheses. So verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, verse 5, which in other ages, and I'm going to say in other dispensations, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. This mystery has been hid in God from the beginning of the world, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, we'll stop right there with that. And of course, the eternal purpose of God, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, the reason I'm starting here at the end is this mystery, especially verse 6, that the Gentiles, now we're going to see two groups of Gentiles, the we who first trusted in Christ Gentiles, and the ye who also trusted in Christ. All of you, anybody that lives in the year 2012, you are, and I don't care if you're Jewish, if you're Islamic, if you're American, white, black, red, green, whatever, you are a ye who also trusted in Christ. So that's you, wherever you see ye who also trusted. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. These two groups are going to be put together, become fellow heirs, okay, fellow heirs and of the same body. That's the end. Okay, now that's important to know that that's what we're looking to see. Does the Scripture say that? So I'm giving you my conclusion. Now I'm going to go back and we're going to see in Scripture. Does the Scripture say that? Thank you, brother. Thank you. And one of the reasons that's key, there are many people that say to make the verse 6, to make the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Many people will try to show you that that is Gentiles and Jews being fellow heirs. No. Or Peter's group, if you will, and Paul's group, fellow heirs. No, no, no. Okay, and that's why I'm starting with the end. So let's go back and we're going to look at what saith the Scripture. Bingo. Bingo. Who is the Savior of all men? Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to put the cross further back here. So that's when the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. And right here, Genesis 1. Now, dispensationalism. Okay, so dispensationalism, meaning that the Lord, that God the Father, dealt with man in different ways throughout time. And for tonight, all I'm concerned about are really two dispensations. The dispensation that just lasted somewhere between 20 to 40 years. Okay, it started when Paul got saved, and it goes throughout to Acts chapter 9 until... So this is the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 9 is where Paul, Saul at that time, is saved. Right here begins Paul's Acts ministry. And it goes until Acts 28. And then, so right here, then begins his prison ministry. And also, according to what we just read there in Ephesians chapter 3, this right here at the end of Acts 28 is when the dispensation of the grace of God begins. As he says, as it is now revealed. Now, in Ephesians. Okay, you need to know, when was the book written? It's that whole thing about context. To Eward, exactly. But it begins here. The dispensation of the grace of God begins here. That's the dispensation that we all live in 2012. Whether you want to or not, it's the only dispensation available to any man that's walking this world today. And I'm going to also say this. It started somewhere just before the year, and I'm going to use 100 A.D. It could have been somewhere between 65 and 70 A.D. is where this time period would be. So actually, I'm going to call it that. Somewhere between 65 and 70 A.D. is this time period. Okay? So ever since then is when this dispensation started. And it's continuing now. Now, at some point in the future, 1 Thessalonians 4, there is a calling out of the body of Christ. And when that happens, this ends. So it goes to this date. Some people call that the rapture. I never like to because it's not in the Bible. Most denominations use that term. Most people know what that means. It's a calling out of the church, which is His body, the body of Christ. Okay? Then at some point we'll begin the seven-year period of great tribulation, followed by the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth to set up His thousand-year reign. Okay? And, of course, this is when the 12 apostles get their reward. You know, Peter, what's our reward, Lord? We've forsaken all to follow Thee. He spends Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John preparing them, teaching them to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel during the thousand-year reign. Okay? That's a different dispensation. This is a different dispensation. This is Hebrews through Revelation out here. Okay, that's the doctrine for that church. We'll be gone. Okay, we will be gone. So Romans through Philemon is the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, at the same time, there are two dispensations in that entire Romans to Philemon. That's why we break these into Paul's Acts epistles and Paul's prison epistles. Again, this will make a little more sense in a few minutes when we look at the we who first trusted, Acts epistles, ye who also trusted, prison epistles. So Acts, these would be the books that Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, he tells us 13 or 18 times, wrote during the book of Acts. So the order as they show up in your Bible, that's Romans, it's 1st and 2nd Corinthians, it's Galatians, and it's 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He wrote these during the Acts period. Prison. Okay, we've got Ephesians, we've got Philippians, we've got Colossians, we've got 1st and 2nd Timothy. We've got Titus. We've got Philemon. 6 and 7. That's 13 books out of 27 books in your New Testament. Almost half. And yet these are the books that most people spend the least amount of time in. Okay? Now, verses 12 and 13 again of Ephesians 1. This time let's just read 12 and then 13. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay? What I am going to show, what I feel is in the Scriptures, you need to verify it for yourself. But when he says this term, we, this would be the we who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. This people after Acts 28. Ye who also trusted. Just like you and I. So 2012 is somewhere in this time period. You know, it might be right here. We don't know because we don't know the date of that event. Okay? Now, we who first trusted. Remember, this is, so verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay, so let's just for now, to the saints in to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay, this book is written to Ephesians. But we see two groups in 12 and 13. We who first trusted, ye who also trusted. Okay, put a marker there and let's go back to the book of Acts and look at when Paul was going to Ephesus to set up churches. Okay, Acts 18 will be the first time that Paul goes to Ephesus. Acts 18 and verse 18. And after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and he left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogues and reasoned with the Jews. Now, a couple of things about that verse. Verse 19, and he came to Ephesus. Okay, so you see, he's at Ephesus. This is his first time. Where did he go when he got there? It says, but he himself entered into the synagogue. Wow, thought he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He sure is. Hang on, okay? And even the next one, and he reasoned with the Jews. Wow. Well, you know what? Let's just back up a couple of chapters. Come back to chapter 17. Chapter 17 of Acts, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, like we just saw. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days, pardon my voice today, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Okay? Verse 2, though, as his manner was. Whoa. As his manner was, and he did it, so he did it right there in 17. He did it in 18. What's going on here? Okay, at this point, that's why we need to establish who are these people. His first trip here, he goes in the synagogue, and it's Jews. Okay, now actually, when you get in a synagogue, it's always during the whole book of Acts, it's only going to be Jews in the synagogue. Gentiles aren't allowed in there. They will be at the entrance to listen, if you will, from outside, but they're not allowed. They would defile the synagogue if they went in there, as it says actually, come out to. So come to chapter 21 of Acts. Here's where some people were real upset about Paul. Acts 21, verse 28, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man, they're referring to Paul, that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Parentheses, for they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Okay, there you go right there. Always let Scripture prove your point. You got to see it in Scripture. All right, so come back to Genesis. Hold your hand there because we're going to spend most of our time in Acts. Genesis chapter 22. There's a little promise back here that becomes quite important even up into this time frame, that time frame, Acts 19, 20, in that time period. Genesis chapter 2, God the Father makes some promises here to a guy named Abraham. I'm just going to get the promises out here in verse 17. 22, 17. 22. I'm sorry if I may have said 2. I do mean 22. Yeah, and by the looks of people, I'm thinking I said 2. Genesis 22. 2-2. Verse 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, on and on. Okay, so those are the promises. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and through thee shall all nations be blessed. The Jewish nation starts and soon. And all that time period, from back here, let's just put Abraham here, all the way through, even after the cross, even into the book of Acts. That's why Paul, in every one of these books, matter of fact, so let's go see it, Romans chapter 1, first book that shows up in your Bible written by Paul, look at how he says this, first time he's going to start preaching the gospel of Christ here. Verse 15, Romans 1, verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, even, and of course Romans is written here in Acts chapter 20. Okay, Acts chapter 20 is where the book of Romans is written. It's still to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, Paul was bound by that promise that God the Father made to Abraham way back here in Genesis. You can read it in Genesis 12 for that matter. 12 and 22. Okay, so Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 22. Okay, the promises to Abraham. Paul is still bound by that. The Jews are still God's chosen people. Okay, let's keep studying out now in the book of Acts, because there's three trips that Paul's going to make to the Ephesians. Okay, we looked at the first one there in Acts 18 and 19. Now the second trip. Come to chapter 19. Yes, the Bible in many ways is a history book. I'll never forget when I first started seeing Rightly Dividing and saying to Brother Jerry, you know, Brother Jerry, you treat it like it's a history book. And? He said, you're right, because it is. And it is when you just keep in there. Just keep in there. Well, I said, if you'll just give 4 to 5 weeks of good study of Rightly Dividing, you'll at least see something that's going to either cause you to go further, or you're just going to have to say, I don't want to know anymore. What my mama and daddy taught me is good enough, and I'm just going to stay with the doctrine that I'm learning at ABC denomination. You're going to see enough in just 4 or 5 weeks. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, Acts 19. Verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Okay, his second trip to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, and he goes on and on, and I don't want to get caught up in what he's preaching here right now. Come down to, and you'll see he did signs, wonders, puts his hands on them in verse 6. Again, never get your doctrine out of the book of Acts. Don't follow what Paul did. Follow what Paul teaches in Romans to Philemon and absolutely 100% prison epistles. Okay? Everything here too, unless it's overridden by a prison epistle. Just such as at this time they were told to keep 4 commandments, not for salvation, but so they wouldn't offend their brethren, wouldn't offend the Jews. Okay, over here he says, hey, now that the Jews are no longer, because what's going to happen here is now the Jews are cast aside. Not my people. Lo am I. Okay? The Jews become Lo Amite, not God's people. Now, everybody's the same. There's no such thing. You'll never see Paul say Jew first and also to the Greek and also to the Gentile, because there is no difference here. Where over here, it was still to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therefore, there's a few things that change. Okay? The gospel of salvation is the same. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Thank you, brother. That is a big amen. Thank you. So the gospel for salvation is the same. And that's the key thing. Why do we look at dispensations anyway? It's to make sure we're following the right gospel in the year 2012 for your salvation. Because you cannot go back here and read what the Lord told Abraham for salvation, or what the Lord told Moses or David, or what Peter and the 12 started preaching in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, you know, so here we've got chapters 1 through 7 in particular. You know, this is Peter and the 12 getting on with it. Everything that, this is the birth of Christ, everything that the Lord Jesus Christ on earth during his earthly ministry taught Peter and the 12 right here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's the doctrine for this church. But yet most of our 300 and some denominations today want to pull their doctrine right here. And they'll even go to early Acts. Okay? These people were getting on with the gospel of the kingdom. You can't follow the gospel of the kingdom today and be saved. It won't work. It's a different gospel. It'll send you to hell. Your belief in it will send you to hell. Because only, and we'll come to the gospel of Christ, but only, the only salvation available to anyone on this earth today is the gospel of Christ, as he said in Romans 1, 15, 16, 17 there. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the gospel of your salvation. There are many gospels throughout the Bible. There are gospels out here in the future. They've got to have ways to please God Almighty, but they're going to miss the easy way right here in the dispensation of the grace of God. Man This guy in Hebrews, look at it. There's two passages in there. He loses his salvation, and he can. He can't get it back. You and I, Ephesians 1:13, which we haven't really studied yet, but it says you're sealed. And that's such a glorious word, sealed. And yeah, you're right, brother. And then it tells us in Ephesians how long we're sealed. Ephesians 4:30, unto the day of redemption. He purchased the church, which is the body of Christ, with His own blood. Right here. Anyway, I'm getting ahead again. We who first trusted, ye who also trusted. That's what I'm wanting you to see in our study today. To see this dispensation and this dispensation. Remember, the one just before it was right here. There was another one here. Some others back here. Again, I don't care if there was one, if there was 111, if there were seven. It doesn't matter for today, really. It's good to go back there and study it, and that's great. And there are good reasons to know it. But at the end of the day, either you're saved or you're not. That's it. Either we're saved today in 2012 or we're not, but you can only get saved by the gospel of Christ. Okay, so Acts 19 now. We're in here and we're looking at the second trip that Paul made to Ephesus. Okay, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue. Whoa, here he is going into the synagogue again. How about that? And he spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. Okay, 3 months he's there, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. And by the way, in your King James Bible, that way always refers to Paul and the doctrine he is teaching and the church that he is establishing. And this way always refers to the church back here that Peter and the 12 are establishing in Acts 1 through 7, 8, 9. Now that continues. Okay, there's a little bit of crossover here. Doesn't matter for today because that ended. Okay, it ended. The only people that could get into that church were the people that Peter and the 12 preached to, and we have no record other than one or two times shortly that Peter left Jerusalem. All the time, this is all in Jerusalem. Okay? So that becomes pretty key too. And Paul, by the way, never goes and preaches to those people. Never. He never crosses over and preaches to the same people. Okay, so verse 9. They spake evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. There's that phrase again, Jews and Greeks. Okay, but he always was bound by the promise. Every city he went to, back here in Acts 9 through 21, he always went into the synagogue first. After Acts 21, you never see that happen again. Okay. Every time he would stay in the synagogue until divers were hardened, or however the phrase would be used in different cities, but then he's released from the promise to the Jews. And like here, he goes up and sets up the school of one Tyrannus. And that's where they start meeting for 2 years. Okay, and that's going to become key also. I mean, in 2 years, you can get to know each other pretty well, can't you? It's been just over a year that we've been here with you, and I think we've gotten to know each other pretty well. Okay, so it continued, verse 11, you'll see miracles again there by Paul. And those miracles end, by the way, so this is only during the Acts period. Okay, all of that goes away, and in case this is a critical one, I'm taking the call. Go ahead, please. On the cell phone? I am in the middle of our teaching this evening. We go from 6 to 7 on Wednesday nights. Yeah, that's not a problem. We couldn't get on the internet tonight, so I'm sure after your service. Thank you. Just in case that was critical, I had to, when you see who it is, right? Brother Jerry Lockhart. Okay. So once again, don't follow what Paul does in the book of Acts. Here he's healing, people are bringing aprons to him, exorcists, on and on he goes. Verse 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, once again, also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed and came and confessed and showed their deeds, many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. Boy, it wouldn't be bad if we had a good old-fashioned book burning, would it? We'll start with the NIV and maybe add the NASB to it. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. There you go. So then he leaves them here and he moves on. So we're going to come back. Yeah, we'll skip that for today. The whole passage, it starts after this from verse 23 on through, where the goddess Diana of the Ephesians and how they were making little idols of Diana and selling them, and they were making them through the synagogues there, and then the craftsmen get a little upset that their trade is at risk. And so that this, you know what, so if I'm going to start, I might as well go there. Verse 24, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. They're making some good money here. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught. What are they worried about first? Their craft, their money. How about that? What's the root of all evil? A love of money. But also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should also be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. So on and on they go there. Just quite a passage. All right. We may go a bit over an hour here. Of course, we were a little bit late starting. But all right. So far he's gone to Ephesus twice. He's going to the Jews first. And I actually want to jump ahead and then come back. Oh, okay. Verse 18. One other thing I want to go back to. Acts chapter 18. Here's another place where he goes into the... So verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Okay, come down. Verse 6, and when they opposed themselves, the Jews and the Greeks that were there, somebody's opposing themselves, and blasphemed. He, is Paul, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean, from henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Okay, again, once again, he's bound to go to the Jews and Gentiles. Usually it was just the Jews that would blaspheme as they did here. So he's now broken from the promise to Abraham, from henceforth I go to the Gentiles. Verse 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Whoa! Where he goes this time when he leaves the synagogue is literally right next door, the other side of that wall. His house joined hard to the synagogue. How about that? So he didn't have to go far, but he was now no longer bound to be in the synagogue. Because the Gentiles could go in that house, they couldn't come in to this temple. Remember, we read that earlier. Okay, so we're still talking about we who first. What I am suggesting to you, and I'm going to show you in scriptures here, is that's these people. These Ephesians we're talking about would be representative. these Ephesians that we see in Acts 18, 19, and 20 being the key. So now it's come to Acts 20, and this will be the third and final trip that Paul makes. Now, he doesn't actually go to Ephesus. So verse 17, and from Miletus. Now, Miletus is a seaport just down, and I say down like geographically, down from Ephesus, Ephesus being up in the hills there. And he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in the weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. There again, you see the churches that Paul set up in houses everywhere he went as well. So he started the synagogue, but there's churches in houses, and as I would suggest, most grace studies anyway these days are in houses. Of course, there is no such thing as a church, you know, that is a temple of God in the year 2012. Make no mistake about it. It's great to have a facility to meet and to be able to gather together, and we can hold a few more people than somebody can hold in their living room. Unless your name's Donald Trump or Bill Gates, I guess. Anyway, from house to house, verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24 is a great one to memorize. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching. Now, who's he talking to right now? The elders of the church back there in verse 17 and 18. Verse 17, and he called the elders of the church, right? So that's who's come down. And he's talking just with the elders of the church, because he couldn't go to Ephesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Okay, so verse 25, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of... verse 25, and now behold, I know that ye all, ye elders of the church of Ephesus, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. How long had they been there in the past? You know, 2.5 years roughly, Paul had been there, right? Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. That's part of Paul talking to this group. So 3 years he was there. Verse 28 is another key one. We got to keep going. 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, you elders of the church of Ephesus, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. By the way, that's the first time in your Bible that blood is used in this context. His blood being used for a purpose, other than anything referring to the actual crucifixion, him shedding blood. Okay, out here is the first time, this right here, verse chapter 20, verse 28, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20, verse 28, first time he talks about the church being purchased. Remember, we're called a purchased possession? Okay, he purchased us with his own blood. Pretty stiff price to pay. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. As Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Men always want followers of themselves, it seems. Who's got the power? Who got the power? Who got the power? Where's that song go? Anyway, Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, as we read earlier. Come down to verse 26 when he concludes. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied to the ship. That's a key phrase right there in our study, that they should see his face no more. Because of that saying, as he said in verse 25, remember at the end there, shall see my face no more. Because of that, they wept and kissed his neck. Do you think they had a great love for the man? Do you think they knew him fairly well? Okay, that's going to be key when we get to our ye who also trusted, okay? The men in Ephesus, over 3 years he taught them. The last time he saw them, they wept together. All right, now come back to Ephesians chapter 1. That becomes so key. So, verse 12 of Ephesians 1, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay, verse 15, jump down there. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Whoa, after he heard of their faith? Didn't we just read that they cried together, that they hugged his neck when they prayed together? That's two different groups of people, isn't it? They've got to be. There's no way you can make them the same people. You see, the churches in Acts 18, 19, and 20, the three trips that Paul made back there, that is verse 12 of Ephesians 1. We who first trusted in Christ. Ye who also trusted in verse 13, that's the people he says in verse 15, wherefore also after I heard of your faith. He wasn't there to experience it like he was in Acts 18, 19, and 20 when he was there in person. Two totally different groups of believers. All right, now think about this. There's a period of time. Now, I have in my Bible, let's see, Acts chapter 20, I have written down as A.D. 57. Don't know if it's right or not. That's what one of those scholarly type scholars has in his book. I'm going to use it just for a time frame. It's not critical to me if it was 55 or 59, somewhere around AD 57, which would mean this is about 10 years later at the end of the Acts period. Could be 12, could be 15. You know, it's probably at least 10. Okay, not critical, but the point is, during those 10 years, these elders had a commission from Paul, didn't they? Get on with it. You're the overseers. Get on with the program. Preach the gospel of Christ. Declare unto the people here all the counsel that I have taught you. Follow the principle, if you will, of 2 Timothy 2:2, which wasn't written yet, but I'm just making an application here. You know, teach faithful men to teach others likewise. That's how it's been all along. Okay, when you learn this, Scripture suggests that you teach that to someone else too. That's Scripture. Okay. So he knew these people well when he was back there. That's who we who first trusted in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 12. Now, Ephesians, this really is a two-week study, but I need to finish this evening because of somebody I really want to send this study to. Okay, Ephesians 1, 13 now. In whom ye also trusted, these people that he's writing back to, because as verse 15 says, he heard of their faith. So because of hearing of their faith and some other things that we're going to see, he writes the book of Ephesians back to them. Now remember, I started with the end in mind, chapter 3, okay, how he's putting both groups together as one body because there were schisms between these two groups, as you read, especially chapter 2. There were schisms between the two. One group thought they were better than the other group. Nothing new under the sun. Okay, let's look at these. Ye who also trusted. And again, you listening tonight, You are this ye in verse 13. Put your name right in there. In whom ye, John Smith, listening on the internet, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and raised again for your justification. After you heard that, the gospel of your salvation, you trusted it. And then it says, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And again, make sure you put Ephesians 4:30 there. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. That's as glorious as it gets right there. Saved, sealed, can't lose it. As Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved, not are ye being saved, are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can do to gain your salvation. And praise God, there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation in the dispensation of the grace of God. Okay? When people say they want to show eternal security is not in the Bible, well, that's correct. It's not in the Bible after the church, which is the body, leaves here. There's no eternal security here. There's no eternal security before Paul. So both are right. You know, everybody thinks there's got to be, it's one or the other throughout the Bible. No! That's what dispensationalism is all about. How is God the Father, how is God Almighty dealing with man today in 2012, right here? It's the doctrine in these books and these books. That's it. No other books. Now, let's look at a little bit, a characteristic of these people in verse 13, these people who are, he calls, ye who also trusted. Come over to chapter 2. Okay, chapter 2, let's start in verse 1. And you, that's you here in 2012, ye who also trusted, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we, there's that word we now, always watch this, we, you, and then us combining them, okay? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. That's both the groups in 12 and 13 of chapter 1. In times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, both groups, we who first, ye who also, hath quickened us together with Christ. Oh, by the way, by grace are ye saved. I'm saying it that way because of the parentheses. They're not there for no reason. Those parentheses are so key. Oh, by the way, by grace are ye saved, ye who also trusted. Hey, it wasn't 100% grace back here, and don't jump on me yet. They had to be aligning themselves with Israel. They had to be blessing Israel when Paul got there. Okay? They were aligning themselves with the promises made to Abraham. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. That's the type of Gentile that we who first trusted is. Okay, that doesn't exist today. Only the ye who also trusted, like we're reading here now. This defines us. By grace are ye saved. 100% grace. You didn't have to go to the synagogue. You didn't have to go bless Israel like the we who first trusted in Christ did, like all of the Gentiles in these books did. They absolutely were part of blessing the Jews. These people were never, ever, ever part of that. Total grace, total gift, verse 5, and hath raised us, here again, us, both groups, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember what I told you, my conclusion, Ephesians 3, he's making us one body. And just as you're seeing right here, he's saying the same thing. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Come down verse 11 now. Let's watch the description of these people. And this is you and I. Remember, wherefore remember, that ye, not us, not we, ye, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, and watch the description here, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise made to Abraham, and having how much hope? No hope, the Bible says right there, and without God in the world. But now, verse 13, favorite two words together, but now. A year ago, Kim and I lived in Denver, but now we live in Alabama. That's a drastic change. It's a huge change. 3 hours ago, it was real light outside, but now it's dark as can be. Drastic change. Okay? Paul, but now, drastic change coming. Hello, hello. Every time Paul does this, and he does it many, many times, in Romans to Philemon, watch what comes. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. And that's why you got to get the context. What's he making one? The we who first trusted in Christ, ye who also trusted. He hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Well, what's the enmity? Next phrase. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both. Who's both? We who first trusted, ye who also trusted, and make both unto God in one body by the cross, not at the cross is key. By the cross, and just give me a second. By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and them that were nigh. Okay, there's so much in those verses. But the things that I want you to see, person that I'm sending this tape to, well, I want us all to see, because it's key, but especially what you're dealing with. This is it right here. You're absolutely right. Go read Matthew 19. In that, the Lord Jesus Christ on earth never came to destroy the law. I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Absolutely. To fulfill the law. What did that man, that rich young ruler, comes up to him? Good master, what good things, speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 19. Good master, what good things shall I do to have eternal life? Do you think that's going to be an important answer? When somebody asks Christ himself, what do I need to do to have eternal life? Well, if you think these are to you, you better listen. He said, keep the commandments. Go read it, Matthew 19, somewhere around verse 19, 20, somewhere in there. Okay? Keep the commandments. That's all the way into Matthew 19, not early in the book, you know, getting two-thirds of the way through. Keep the commandments. He never came to destroy. What are they doing in here? Keeping the commandments. Peter and the 12 are teaching the church, the kingdom church, exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ on earth taught them to teach them. The gospel of the kingdom. Endure to the end, and thou shalt be saved. No eternal security in that. It was by the cross, though, not at the cross. So it didn't happen at this time. It happened by the activities here, but it wasn't until this guy Paul reveals it later on, as he is right here in Ephesians. He's revealing that because, just what we're reading here, there in his flesh the enmity, Okay, having a verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You see, that's what was between these two groups. The ordinances in Acts 15 is where they're put on this group. Okay, don't eat meat sacrificed to idols. Don't drink blood sacrificed to idols. Don't commit fornication. And help me, what's the fourth one? There's a fourth one there. Strangled. Okay? And these people look down their nose at these people because they didn't do those things. We don't drink meat. We don't eat meat that was sacrificed to animals, idols like you do. I don't know if that sounds like any groups today that might be going on, and think a little bit better because they don't do certain things or they do certain religious activities. These people were being a little bit religious. Paul writes back to tell the we who first trusted, who are like these people in each one of these books, and the ye who also trusted, these people and us people, that there is no division between you. Having, what's the word he uses here? Okay? Verse 14, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished. He broke it down, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. There it is right there. That's when the commandments are totally removed. Now again, even this group, there are no commandments for salvation. When they were saved, they were sealed. Saved by the same gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. How that when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on this cross and he shed his blood, he was paying the penalty for your sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about the reconciliation, verses 19, 20, 21. He hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, made him to be sin for us, took our sins to hell, and was raised again the third day for our justification. That's the gospel of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15. Everybody in every one of these books, that's how they got saved. That's how they got into the body of Christ. They are both part of the body of Christ. That's what this book of Ephesians is about. Ephesians 2 is describing the type of Gentile. You see, that's one of the main differences between the doctrine here and the doctrine here is the type of Gentile. This Gentile is a we who first trusted. They always were in the promises. These were always outside the promises, having no hope, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, as we just read there in Ephesians 2, 10, 11, 12, back in there. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. That's us. That's us today. And that's what is so key in just understanding the entire doctrine, and that's why this is a key part of it, because let's come back to Ephesians 3 again now. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Both groups of Gentiles here are to be fellow heirs. Well, they will be, whether they want to be or not. Okay, they're fellow heirs. They are of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Okay, that's it right there. Now and in today, 2012, ever since, somewhere around 70 AD, from that point all the way until to now, and who knows how much longer, we're all saved. We're all the same. We're all this type of Gentile. Even if you're Jewish, you're this type of Gentile now. Sorry, no more promises right now. You're low. The Jews are low, am I? Not my people. And that is the main difference. And that's what the book of Ephesians is, the first three chapters anyway, are all about. Paul showing them who the two groups are, why there's what the division was, how there shouldn't be a division because of it, because it's gone now. It's abolished. Okay, he abolished it and broke down that middle wall of partition. Interesting what he called it. It was a middle wall of partition. It stood in the way between the two groups. It kept them from intermingling, if you will. No, there is no difference. Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile, right? I'm misquoting, male or female. There is no difference in the Lord's eyes today when it comes to salvation. Either it's like, read 1:13 again, and 12:13 and 14. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom, this is you, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. See, that's it right there. And that's why you have to, as you say in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does rightly dividing mean? You know, there must be a way to wrongly divide, apparently. Rightly divide, finding the doctrine for you today. 100% of that. And again, anything in here as well that this doesn't override. In other words, here he did say, don't eat the meat. Don't do anything that offends your brother. Now, today's doctrine, forget it. We're all good for nothing sinners, not worth the gunpowder it takes to blow us into hell anyway. What makes you think you're any better than anybody else is what Paul is saying in here, because we're not. And it is like Ephesians 2:7. Why did He save any of us? That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Yeah, when the world sees that guy, Steve Gottberg, going to get his heavenly body, yep, even that guy can get saved. I knew him when he was, and not only that, over here, he's a sorry, good for nothing, but I saved him by my grace and the riches of His grace and His kindness toward all of us. Every one of us. There's nobody that's too bad to get saved. And there's nobody good enough to stay out of hell. Stop trying and start trusting, as in Ephesians 1:13. Trust means trust. Means nothing else. And that's where you've got to get the context of the book, the context of what you're reading. Okay, always see it in Scripture. And praise the Lord, you are seeing it in Scripture. But these books are written, it's usually Christ talking to 12 men. So you can't put yourself in, unless you think you're as good as one of those 12 men. You can't be. You can't get those promises. That was the 12 men only. Okay? It is what Paul wrote out here. You can't go into Acts 2, 3, and 4. And they're even selling out and having all things common. You can't go. It's a different gospel there. They were getting into a different church. This church will inherit the land out there. Okay? This church is the body of Christ. We're out of here. You know, this church inherits the heavenly city, those that die. They get to go to the heavenly city, New Jerusalem. Okay? There's really three inheritances out there. The land that the Jews have always been looking for since way back in Abraham's day. They've been looking for the land. They thought that Christ came to start that kingdom right there. Okay, there's a heavenly city. That's a second inheritance. Again, these saints will get, these that die, that's how they get there. Only the martyrs get there. And then there's the third inheritance far above all heavens, the church, which is the body of Christ. One last part before we leave here. He talks about mysteries. And go to 1 Corinthians 2. There are several mysteries that Paul reveals. But here is a key point as to why it was a mystery. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. And he says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world even started, unto our glory." Our, the church, which is the body of Christ. Not the Jews' glory, our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had... Let me back up the middle of verse 7 there. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. I need to start in verse 6. That's the problem. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And many people say, well, what would have been bad about that if they hadn't have crucified him? He could have set up his kingdom. Yeah, he never would have died for our sins, would he? Remember, when he died, it's not the death, burial, and resurrection that saves you. It's 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, how that Christ died, oh yeah, for our sins. You see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He was buried and raised again for our justification. Praise God for all of that. And that's why you have to get in the right dispensation so you follow the right gospel for your salvation. Because following the wrong doctrine, the wrong gospel, sends you straight to hell if you were to leave this earth. No second chances there either. All right, any questions on the, thanks for being here this evening, and I appreciate you letting me go a few minutes over so we could get all this pretty much in one lesson so I can send it out to someone who's very near and dear to me. And I would encourage everybody, you've got to know for yourself. And there's a time in your life where you can't say, well, I believe this because my father taught me this. My grandmother taught me this. When you stand before God Almighty, just as you're doing, young man, as you will do, young man, it's between you and the Lord. And he's going to say, I gave you this, my word, this King James Bible. What did you do to seek out the truth? And praise God, men like you are seeking out the truth. Take it in context and get in the dispensations. Paul tells us so many times that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Consider what I say, Paul says. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in how many things? All things. 11:1. All things, be ye followers of me as I also am Christ. Where's that verse? You know where that is? Okay. Yeah, and 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. But brethren, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Okay? And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Even verse 2 there. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. And that's not what I wanted. Okay, but anyway, you want to know all things? You want to have understanding in all things? Consider what Paul says right there. Okay, that's how you get understanding in all things. All right, now I'll say.